Welcome everybody to the Calling It podcast. We never wanted to have to do. I'm Alex Barth, joined by Alex Lebowitz, recording on the worst St. Patrick's Day in history, March 17th, top of the 8 o'clock hour, powered by CLNS Media. Check them out online, clnsmedia.com. Lebowitz, we did... Well, the Paul Pierce retirement show was before you joined the program, I believe. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I did a whole montage and everything. I made an entry montage. David Ortiz, I think you were part of the show for, were you?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think so, because he announced his retirement early in the season, if I recall, and that was his season.
Because it was after the last game. Still be doing the shows with Jimmy. My point being, we did a whole montage for that. It was fun. We reminisced. I really was looking forward to doing that show with Tom Brady. And, I mean, we can still reminisce and all that, but it's not the same. We're going to have to watch him, not just in another uniform, in a punchline of a uniform. A team that's been the punchline of the league for a long time. Look, he got paid. He earned the right to get paid, and that's fair. He took pay cut after pay cut to keep the Patriots competitive. He wants to get to that age of 45 so he can sell his $50 protein. He wants the multiple years. He wants the respect. I get that. That's fine. But, yeah, I've been watching that guy play quarterback for my team since I was 6 years old. And, you'd sit back 5-6 times a year. Game seems lost. He brings it back. He wins it. You'd set your watch to it. And that's gone. I mean, that for a lot of us in New England, especially people our age, that was as big a constant in our lives as just about anything else. I don't know. I can't really name outside of my immediate family something that is in my life now, that's a part of my life now, that was a part of my life before I knew who Tom Brady was. So this hurts. Other fans will mock Patriots fans and whatever, and that's fine. And we have our lickings coming to us. But this is not Mookie Betts, okay? This is not another player transaction. This is an institution in the region outside of sports. You look at the personal impact he had on millions of people's lives that he'll never know about. That is what this is. That is how big this is. And it just sucks. Today sucks. Everything about today, from being quarantined to Brady, to there's snow coming tomorrow for some reason. It sucks. It's awful. Burn it with fire. Kill it. Shoot it into the sun.
It's been a bad day. It's been a bad week. It's been a bad month. It's been a bad year. This is, horrible. It sucks. It is the death of our childhood as we knew.
This is literally, I am turning 26 on Friday. Happy birthday to me, right? This is, I've always said, I used to say this to you when we were in college, that I still get to feel like a kid because my childhood quarterback is still playing. My childhood ended today at whatever it was, 9:15 in the morning. My childhood ended at 9:15 a.m. Tuesday, March
8:44 Eastern, but who's counting?
What?
It's at 8:44 Eastern time, but who's counting?
Okay, there we go.
I had to add that description in there. Yeah, it sucks. I mean, you can't compare it to anything else. I think the only athlete in modern history you can really compare it to leaving their team is, it'd be Joe Montana and Michael Jordan. And even then, they weren't on their respective teams for 20 years. This has been an unbelievable run, and it was an unbelievable relationship between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. And that's what this all essentially, revolves around. It was the fact that Brady seemingly was getting sick of playing with Belichick. That relationship had run stale. And he wanted something different. I think the idea for him to leave was intriguing. I think the idea for Belichick to move on from Brady was also intriguing. And we know that's a fact, given the Garoppolo fallout. It was essentially, it came down to a relationship that had soured. Is there mutual respect there? Of course there is. But it had run its course, and I think this was kind of an actual mutual separation to some degree.
I mean, I think it was too. I think Brady would have come back for his price. I think Bill would have had him back for the right price. I think the price was just wildly different. And look, ultimately, Bill Belichick, we know this. We've heard him say this. The way he handles the offseason and just personnel moves in general, You make the move that's better for the five-year outlook than the one-year outlook. That's why the Patriots have been successful as long as they have. You can't, even if Tom Brady goes out and has a great year next year, he's not going to be playing by the end of the 2022 season at the very latest, at the very latest. You can't look me in the eye and tell me that this wasn't the better move or the has the potential to be the better move for the five-year plan. Depends who they replace him with. You know, if they replace him with Andy Dalton, you'll find me jumping off a ladder. But this is the Patriots are a better football team today than they were yesterday. Or they're – sorry, let me rephrase that. The Patriots' long-term outlook is better today than it was yesterday. They have a chance to see what they have in Jared Stidham. They have a chance to bring in another young quarterback. And if neither of those work, they'll have a chance at a high draft pick, something they haven't had in 20 years. They haven't picked inside the top 10 as long as Belichick's been here. So the long-term outlook is better. They've set themselves up to continue to contend, and the dynasty itself might not be over. It's a new era, right? Steve Young and Joe Montana, that was one run, but it's two concretely different eras. So this is the right football move, and I guess that's the solace we have to take in all of this. This is the right football move. But on a personal level, it fucking hurts.
It sucks. It's horrible. I mean, it stings. And again, the fact that I know Tampa Bay has some really good offensive weapons. That offense is skilled, and there's no question about that. Bruce Arians would be a fun coach to play for. He's well-respected, but it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's going from the New England Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, hey, if he actually ends up winning that division, which is a tough one to win right now, it's going to be very, very loaded. And, you know, fights for an NFC title. Maybe going to the Super Bowl. That'd be an unbelievable story. And you best believe I'm going to be rooting for Tom Brady to some degree this season. I think a lot of Patriot fans are going to be in that boat. But it's still a downstep. It's still leaving, you know, the greatest quarterback head coach duo of all time, the greatest franchise run of all time in maybe any sport for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that's had very minimal success throughout their franchise's history. But if they were going to, you know, have a change of fate and maybe become a legitimate team, not a laughing stock, this would be the move to make. It's good for them. I am excited, kind of intrigued, not only to see what Tom Brady looks like with that roster, what he looks like when he's not coached by Bill Belichick. I'm also intrigued to see how the Patriots move on from this. If Stidham is the guy, which looks like it may be the case because Bridgewater is off the table, and I just don't think Andy Dalton would make much sense. I'm interested to see how he does. We saw him play in the preseason, and he looked pretty good. He came in a few times during the regular season and was iffy, but he's a young guy. The thing is, they would have preferred to have Brady back for like 1 year because you don't need to rush Stidham in this season. Brady would have been the better option this season. But Brady didn't want that. He left, and he got a deal that I'm assuming will be at least 2 or 3 years. So it's going to be interesting to see. There's going to be a lot to talk about, but that doesn't take away the sting of you know, our team, the team we grew up with, the dynasty we grew up with, losing the GOAT.
Yeah, and to go back to something you said, kind of about where both sides go, Brady and Tampa is the potential to be really interesting. But nobody's talking about that elbow injury he had last year. And as far as we know, he didn't have surgery. And he's not going to be able to throw the ball down the field very well if that's an issue. So that's worth noting. If he's healthy, it'll be awesome to watch. And I can't wait. But that's an if. On the Patriots side of things, I think it has to be Stidham. Unless, you know, something major changes and somebody who's currently not available becomes available. Like my take was, if Brady left, I was hoping Dak wouldn't be signed yet and they could go all in on Dak. That's what I wanted. You know, turn the thing over as soon as possible. But given where they are right now, you could pay Andy Dalton $20 million a year to run an offense he can't run and he'll be awful. You can pay Cam Newton $20 million a year to get hurt in week two. You give up a first-round pick for Taysom Hill, who's not a quarterback. And I have a column up on this right now on 98.5thesportshub.com. But basically, none of that guarantees you anything. And the problem is, I think a lot of people look at it and say, bring in Dalton, bring in Jameis Winston. They'll win two games. We can go get Trevor Lawrence. Bill Belichick walking in the door is 6 wins minimum right there. Bill Belichick walking in the door is 6 wins. That's not going to get you Trevor Lawrence. And he's not going to tank. That's not who he is. He wants to win every single game. And it goes against the whole 1 year versus 5 year thing. That's who he is. We saw from Brian Flores this year. He refused to tank. So if I'm the Patriots, I roll with Jarrett Stidham. Because best case, and Cody Kessler is the backup. Best case scenario, hey, Stidham's an NFL quarterback. You have your guy, you keep rolling. He's the Steve Young to Brady's Montana, right? You keep going with that. Worst case scenario, maybe he sucks enough that they only win 4 games. Maybe he sucks enough that it wakes Bill up, and then maybe they don't get Trevor Lawrence, but they can get in the top 10. I'm not paying, you know, give Stidham a legitimate chance here. You invested in him. You used a good draft pick on him. Don't spend a third-round pick on Jake Fromm. Don't spend picks to trade for and then $20 million to play Andy Dalton. Use those assets. Go out and get a couple receivers. Go out and get a tight end. Replace what you lost at linebacker. You have a core of a roster there. It's without a quarterback. Patriots as constructed right now with Stidham as a question mark, maybe an 8-win team. But if you put some pieces around him, you give him a full offseason as the QB1, and he can actually give you something, this team could turn it right around. I'd rather take the risk with Stidham and see what you have in him than do something desperate and expensive. Because the Patriots are the only team that don't do desperate and expensive things. That's been a trademark of this run. Belichick never does it. It's really easy to say they've never done it before, they won't do it again, but we're living in a brand new time. The world as we knew it does no longer exists. So if I'm them, I just roll with Stidham. If I'm them, I roll, unless circumstances change. If the Chargers call you and they want to move down from whatever pick they have, I think it's the 5th overall pick, and you think you have a shot at Tua, it's not the 5th because the Dolphins have the 5th, but whatever pick it is, and you think you have a chance to draft a guy like Tua, right? Or even a guy like Jordan Love. I don't love him, but if they think that's their guy, or Justin Herbert, like that's one thing. I don't love Love or Herbert, but if they think that's their guy, like that's one thing. But if it's Stidham versus the trade options out there right now, Dalton, Cam, whoever, roll with Stidham.
Yeah, I think, you know, and they could go for a quarterback. Maybe it is the case in which they're not pursuing Brady that extensively because they have a guy who they think is going to be, you know, drop in the draft. We saw Stidham, who was, projected to be a first-round pick his junior year at Auburn, and then just had a down senior year, and then they grabbed him in the 4th. Maybe he works out. Maybe they have someone else who is who they're eyeing at that position. I don't know if they'll move up necessarily. We know they have plenty of picks to try to do so, and that's going to be an interesting storyline as well. But I do agree with you in the sense that, you know, it's really a win-win situation with Stidham. He either surprises you, does very well, and takes over as the you know, heir apparent to Tom Brady, for lack of a better term, or it's not he doesn't do very well, and they're shit out of luck at that position, and they win 4 or 5 games and have a top 10 pick. I don't know if they'd necessarily go for a quarterback. If I had to guess, given their history drafting, you know, before, you know, pick 20 in the draft, they'll probably get a defensive player like an end or a linebacker. So it's going to be interesting to watch unfold, but I do think that they are not going to get anyone in the quarterback market right now. I think they're going to ride it out. If anything, they'll get a backup, maybe somebody who's a veteran who will push Stidham, and they won't announce who the starter is, which is going to be another interesting storyline to follow. We've seen how Joe Judge in New York is handling that situation with Jones as their quarterback and not even saying he's the starter. That's a Belichick disciple. We know Belichick's pretty mum about what he decides position-wise. So will he, if they don't get anyone big name Jarrett Stidham the starter, how are they going to handle the situation in general? We know he has a great offensive line, but those skill position guys did not do well last season. It could be a 9-win team. It could be a 10-win team, hypothetically speaking. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case, but this is a reload, or restart, as you called it. And it's intriguing. It's going to be interesting to watch. And I also do think, one more point to add, I think that Belichick leaving I think it ensures that our Brady leaving ensures that Belichick's going to be here for at least, 3 to 5 more years at the very least. And he's going to be involved in some capacity for those 3 to 5 years because he's going to want to see this through. And I think that's the one silver lining Patriot fans can take away from this.
Well, there's going to be some shakeup now. I mean, you mentioned that. Julian Edelman, I'm not sure what kind of value he has to the Patriots right now. The biggest aspect of his game was the chemistry with Brady. That's now
a
non-factor. He's older. He's coming off a season where he was severely banged up. I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying they should get rid of him, but he's entering the last year of his deal. I'm guessing that he's not long for New England, whether it be retirement or going to probably Tampa at this point. I'm guessing he's not long.
That would make sense for Tampa.
What was that?
That would make – I mean, if I were Tampa, I'd be getting on the phone right now if Belichick would be willing to make that trade.
Yeah, though, I mean, the one position they don't have is a slot guy. They got two great tight ends. They got two great outside wide receivers. You can move Godwin outside. It'd probably be better. Put Edelman in the slot. Just don't employ a running back at that point. Who needs one? Josh McDaniels is a big one for me. And we know – not know, but the writing's on the wall. He was pseudo-promised the head coaching job once Belichick leaves. But I'm sorry. This is a guy who once drafted Tim Tebow 25th overall. And I got ripped for this take on Twitter. Oh, what about all Bill's mistakes? Now, you know what? Jordan Richards in the second round, I see why he did that. He didn't pan out Richards, but I see why he did that. Tim Tebow was never going to be an NFL quarterback. By no stretch of the imagination was he ever going to be an NFL quarterback. And Josh McDaniels used the 25th pick on him. And Peyton Manning hitting for agency is the only thing that saved the Denver Broncos. Because they were going to have to ride that out. So I want no part in that guy choosing the next quarterback. If he wants to stay and be the offensive coordinator, fine. I'll say it again. The Dolphins have had a fantastic run in free agency. Flores was the guy. Flores was the guy to make that deal with the devil and say, you're the next one. I think he's brilliant. I think he's aggressive. I think he knows what he's doing. That was the guy. And instead, we'll see who Josh Daniels picks as the next guy. We'll see. That's what makes the Taysom Hill thing so interesting. They'd have to give up a first round to get him. He's a restricted free agent. But Taysom Hill's essentially Tim Tebow with a more open mind. willing to play some tight end. Willing to play some corner. So I do not – I really hope Bill's the one picking the next guy. I really do. I don't want it to be Josh.
Well, it's a tricky situation because they were promising Josh McDaniels a heightened role to an extent, at least more privileges – as the OC and quarterbacks coach, when they convinced him to come back after he'd taken that Colts job. The reason they did that is to appease Tom Brady. It was one move they made so that, I mean, he is a good offensive mind, yes, but that's about, pleasing your star quarterback. He's not there anymore. What's the reason for McDaniels to even be a part of that process or to keep true to that promise if it was made? I understand a deal's a deal, but you mentioned his draft history. And the reality is, final say comes down to Bill Belichick, and he's going to pick whoever he thinks is the right guy. And listen, he's done a pretty good job of that. Jacoby Brissett, he ended up being a decent quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo is a starting caliber quarterback. Even Matt Castle, not a great career post-Patriots, but he did the job when he had to. He's done a good job of evaluating that position. So you'd hope the final say would come down to him. I don't see Josh McDaniels playing a huge role in picking that next guy.
Oh, I think he will. If they've promised him the next head coaching job, I think he plays a role. I'm saying he shouldn't, but I think he's going to be.
But Josh McDaniels was
voice in that room.
But he was interviewing for head coaching jobs this offseason. He just didn't get them. So I don't think that he's staying true to that. Why would the Patriots? He probably looked at that Colts situation, and I think he was tentative to take it, and he took it just because it was a head coaching job. You had Andrew Luck, but he didn't know about the future with Andrew Luck, and obviously he ended up retiring that same year, or maybe the year after. We're in a completely different planet right now. We're on a completely different planet. So I think the situation has removed itself from those promises, given the fact that Tom Brady has left. I think they all assumed Brady would stay. They'd work something out like they always have, and just hasn't worked. McDaniels should have some sort of say. I think he'll have a say in, Stidham, whether he's the starter or not. But when it comes to drafting, that's a different ballgame. And I think Belichick will be a control freak, as he probably should be on draft day.
All right. I mean, I'd say final thoughts, but nothing else matters. The world's ending. There is no hope. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. This is it. This is it. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
I will say this. This has been a much needed break over like the craziness that has occurred over the past.
I would infect myself with the coronavirus today if it meant Tom Brady played 3 years.
Forget about the Tom Brady. Remove the Tom Brady news from this situation, from what I'm saying. But free agency in general, yesterday, how it really got off. You know, franchise tags started getting off and running. You had negotiations happening. Verbal agreements have been made. And it's just been a lot of news from the NFL. And I think having them go through with this, a lot of the owners, a lot of the coaches were not happy that this process was not delayed. But the fans are much appreciative. And it was a much needed break from all this garbage that's been going on and how, you know, New York City might have to do a shelter in place and restaurants are closed. It's a complete mess. Thank God for NFL free agency. I hate that Tom Brady has gone, but it's been a very interesting couple of days beyond what's been going on outside of sports. And I'm thankful for that.
If Tom Brady leaving the Patriots is the distractingly good news, that's not great.
It's not good news. I
should be drunk right now.
I think that's the thing that stinks the most about it. Boston, I mean, St. Patrick's Day is like Christmas, and it's canceled and this year.
This will always be every St. Patrick's Day now. This will always be the day Brady left.
It's like when someone dies on Christmas. You don't think about celebrating Christmas. You think about that person dying. That's now hijacked.
It's a pretty good analogy. This is my Christmas. St. Patrick's Day is my Christmas.
Yes, he has hijacked the whole.
You know what else today would have been? Sorry, you know what else today would have been? It would have been the first March Madness games. Oof. Damn it. I got to go to the liquor store now. I don't have enough.
Wear a mask.
Yeah, all right. That'll do it for us. I guess we'll talk to you when there's other news. Until then, for Alex Lovitz, I'm Alex Barth. Follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Check us out online, clnsmedia.com. There will be another show. The world will go on. It will never be the same, but it will go on. We'll have you covered on everything. Sports will be back eventually. Just power through. Thanks for listening, everybody.